been teaching from John Chapman on the very subject of sanctification. So this will stimulate some early thinking. And then secondly, it will compensate for those who are not going to Aberystwyth and would like to think about sanctification. Then thirdly, I think the subject is pertinent to the Thanksgiving service for Sarah Adams, as I think we will see. Fourthly, there is some confused teaching about sanctification, and it's nice to have a little clarification. But I think the best reason and the most important is this, that in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer says this, strive for the holiness or the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Without sanctification, you and I will not see the Lord. Now, if that isn't good reason for the study of the subject, I cannot think of a better one. Sanctification is a prerequisite for heaven. And therefore, if we don't know what it is, and if we do not have it, we oughtn't to be surprised if we do not see the Lord. Now, in Hebrew and Greek, the word for holiness and the word for sanctification are exactly the same. And in English, we have no adjective from sanctification. We don't speak of a man as being a sanct man. We speak of him as being a holy man. In the same way, we don't have a verb from the word holiness. We don't say God will holify you. We say God will sanctify you. Holiness and sanctification are the same. So what is sanctification? I want to just mention two words, and these are the only two that you need to remember from this morning. The first is the word position. Sanctification is a position. And I'm learning from Dick that it's a good practice to have people flipping through their New Testament. So I wonder if you'd look up Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Sanctification is a position. Now he's speaking of the will of God, and he says, and by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Notice those four words. We have been sanctified. Now my guess is that if somebody said to you, where are you in the process of sanctification? You would say, I am far, far down the line. I mean, I'm not very far down the line. I've got a long way to go. And yet it's obvious that the New Testament speaks of sanctification in terms of a position and is able to say, we have been sanctified. Literally, it means we have been set apart. We've been set apart by God and we've been set apart for God. Now let me reinforce this from the Old Testament. God says to Israel at Mount Sinai these words, you shall be my own possession among all peoples, and you shall be to me a holy nation. Literally, a set apart nation, literally a sanctified people. And Peter says to all the Christians who are able to read his first letter, please turn over four pages, and you'll come to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Now who is it that God sets apart for his own people? Is it the nicest people? Is it the ablest people? Is it the most civilized people? Is it the white Anglo-Saxons? And the answer is no. Verse 10, God sets aside those who know his mercy. And he sets aside, verse 9, those who live in his light. In other words, he chooses people in his mercy, and he chooses people for his light. And if you know nothing of his mercy, and you know nothing of his light, you're not a chosen person yet. That's the mark of being chosen. Now that is the highest status possible in this life, to be chosen by God. I wonder if anyone here this morning has rank. There is no higher rank or status than to be chosen by God. You can amass all the degrees possible from the finest institutions and never achieve higher status than the simplest believer. You can have all the honors this world can give, VC, etc. And they can all be piled on. You can be knighted and receive no higher status than to be a simple believer who has been chosen by God. You can receive all the promotions possible. You can go right up the ladder and be in no higher position than the simplest believer. Or you can change your marriage status and yet not have any higher status than the simplest believer. Now, Scripture promises this, and time will prove it, that the simplest believer has the highest status. That's why Martin Luther said a dairy maid can milk cows to the glory of God with her head raised, because she has high status. Now, if we're set apart from God and we have this position of being set apart, of being sanctified, that is something special. It's often said that we're set apart for something special, like the crockery set. You know, we have these crockery sets in our cupboards that are special, and they come out when the Queen comes. But it's really more personal than that. We've been set apart, I would think, more similarly, like a footballer who's been transferred at tremendous expense. You see these transfer fees for these footballers. And they're transferred from one club to the next. And when they're transferred from one to the next, they've got to put all their energy into their new club. They may have allegiances with the old club. They may have tendencies to the old club. But they've got to put all their allegiance into the new club. All their energy, all their effort, all their inclination. And I suggest quite straightforwardly that the Christian has been transferred from the kingdom of darkness, or the team of darkness, to the team of light at the highest possible expense. The transfer fee for the believer is the blood of the Son of God. And therefore, if you belong to God's family and God's kingdom, there's no higher motivation on you and me than that we live holy lives, since we've been set apart. That's why Paul can say at the beginning of many of his letters, as he does, for example, at the beginning of Romans chapter 1, Paul, a slave. Now, a slave has no status, but he goes on to say, a slave of Jesus Christ. And that is the highest status in the world, to be a slave of Jesus Christ. So it's special to be set apart. Second, it's settled. It's once and for all. When God draws us to Jesus Christ, He sets us apart from the world. When God delivers us from darkness and lostness, He transfers us to light and life. When God draws us into His fellowship and into His family, He changes us from slaves to sons. And all those things only happen once. You can only be adopted once. You can only be transferred once. You can only be redeemed once. You can only be set apart once. And that is why the Christian can say, Hebrews 10:10, we have been set apart. You cannot be a Christian and not have been set apart. And that's why the New Testament speaks of Christians as saints, set apart ones, holy ones. And you see, the Catholic Church has this upside down. The New Testament says you've been set apart, so live a holy life. And some forms of Catholicism say, if you live a holy life, you may be set apart as a saint. The New Testament says you have been set apart. Therefore, live like a set apart. And if we're set apart by God, as I say, that is the highest privilege, but it also means great responsibility. That's the first thing of 2 points. Sanctification is a position. Second, sanctification is a process. It's much better known, of course, that sanctification is a process, or a gradual transformation from one degree of glory to another. Let's look up a verse together, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. And this verse says, we, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into His likeness, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Now, who are we becoming more like? We are becoming more like the Lord. It's a process. And salvation is a process. Salvation has already begun, it's continuing, and it will be completed. It's begun because Christ has died and we've believed. It's continuing because Christ rules and we're living for Him. It will be finished because He will come and we will see Him. It's a process. And sanctification is a process. And it's a process whereby the Holy Spirit makes us steadily more like the Lord. Now, that means we have a goal. And the goal is Christ-likeness and nothing less. You know, not many people have a goal today. And it's sad that not many Christians have a goal. There is a kind of a sit-backness which says that we just go from one day to the next. We're kind of passive. We've been caught in the net and we just have to wait until the end. But Paul implies very clearly in many of his epistles that we have a goal, and the goal is holiness, sanctification. It's a goal of godliness. Now, what does it actually mean to be holy? Does it mean that we're to be weird? Does it mean that we're to be old? What sort of people are holy? Is it the old people? Not necessarily. Does it mean to be holy that we have a kind of a surgical operation and the creative, likable part of us is removed from the brain? Does it mean that we become holy by getting more dull? Does it mean that we become holy by getting more legalistic? And the answer is an obvious no, because Jesus, the Holy One, was none of those things, and yet perfectly holy. Attractive, not a legalist. And then we might say, secondly, does holiness mean, therefore, that we believe in Jesus? Does it mean that we do jobs for Jesus? Does it mean that we keep good company? Does it mean that we're in the thick of the action? Does it mean that we're busy? And the answer is no, because Judas did all those things, but was not holy. There was no work of God in his life. And so, in one word, holiness is godliness. It's a process to righteousness. And God is at work in the believer. But please turn back to Hebrews now, chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verse 14. The verse I read at the beginning. Hebrews 12, 14. The writer says, strive for peace with all men, and strive for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Now that word strive is the word agonize. It means that we're to put a lot of work in, we're to pursue it. And therefore, you see, sanctification is not a passive thing when it's a process. It's a two-way cooperation. If ever you've been mountain climbing, I doubt that many of us have been mountain climbing where one ahead of us has been joined to us by rope. But that is something like the idea of New Testament sanctification. It is as if the Holy Spirit goes ahead of us and we're joined to Him, we're linked to Him, and He prompts us and He prods us and He convicts us, and we've got an opportunity then to respond either forward or staying where we are. And He can prompt, and yet it's up to us to respond. It's no good us thinking that we'll be dragged into holiness. It's a two-way cooperation. He can prompt us, we've got to work. He can convict us, we've got to respond. It's a two-way cooperation. And that's why Paul says a number of times this particular idea. Philippians, for example, chapter 2, he says, work out your own salvation because God is at work in you. Work because God is at work. Romans 6. Yield your members to righteousness. Romans 8. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. Yield, it'll be the Spirit. And the Bible always has this balance. Now, the problem with so many Christians is that we overbalance. We have amongst us the strivers. They're working and working, they're busy, they're active, they're doing everything as hard as they can, but it's all in the flesh. And then on the other hand, you've got the let go, let God, who say it's all up to Him. He'll drag me. He'll force me. Lord, I have all these problems. You solve them. Lord, I have all these temptations. Take them all away. I have all these struggles. Lift me out of them. The New Testament says work and He'll work. Yield and the Spirit will work. And we need this balance for sanctification. Now, of course, if we're going to make effort, it's got to be negative and positive. And you will know in your life, as I know in my life, there are things that have got to be worked on negatively. It means that if we're going to be separated for God, we've got to be separated from evil. And when we yield up our members, that may mean we yield up our tongues, we yield up our eyes, we yield up our bodies. We get them from the bed to the desk. We get them from the television to the bed. We're yielding ourselves up. Working. That's negative. Second, it'll be positive. We have a loyalty to God, a devotion to Him, an attraction to Him. and a faithfulness to Him. And therefore, if we're going to grow, if we're going to make effort, we'll need to grow in knowledge of His Word, we'll need to grow in obedience to His Word, and we'll need to grow in grace. Now, process, position, two marks of sanctification, the two parts of sanctification. And in a similar way, you see, we've given thanks for Sarah Adams today, and her parents, as so many believing parents, have set her apart for the Lord, and are praying that the Lord will take her and have her for His own. And yet there's a long process ahead of work and effort, of prayer and teaching. In the same way with the Christian, we've been set apart, a long process of active cooperation with God. Let me finish with some marks of the Holy Spirit. Let me finish with some marks of the process of sanctification. Look back in chapter 12 to verse 2. First three words. Looking to Jesus. Now, they're very simple words, but I want to suggest to you that they are the mark of sanctification. Do you ask yourself whether you're growing in sanctification? Ask yourself whether you're looking to Jesus. We look to Him when we wanted to be saved, and we're to look to Him as we're being saved. And we're to go on looking to Him and looking to Him and looking to Him. Robert Murray McShane said, "For every one look of myself, I take 10 looks of Jesus Christ." Now, that's a good way to sanctification. Looking to Jesus. It's not as though we have to look to ourselves. There are some Christians who are too much into spiritual temperature taking. They're always looking to their own pulse. And they're always checking themselves. And they're going down their little list. We're to look to Jesus, look to Jesus, look to Jesus. That's the first mark. Second is that we'll start to bear the fruits and the graces of the Holy Spirit. Our life will be marked more by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, humility, faithfulness, self-control. Thirdly, we'll be more diligent. Now remember, the diligence does not mean a faster pace. Diligence means a better order. There are some Christians who, as soon as they hear the word diligence or discipline, they think, "Ah, this means more." It doesn't mean more. It means better. It doesn't mean quantity, it means quality. That'll be a mark of sanctification. A fourth mark will be that we're struggling. It will be a struggle every morning, and especially in this hot weather, to get up and read the Bible and pray. It'll be a struggle. And therefore, if you're not involved in any struggle to read and pray, if you're not involved in any struggle for family devotions, if you're not involved in any struggle to obedience, it's not a mark of you don't have that mark of sanctification. Check yourself. And the fifth mark of the process of sanctification will be some increase in effectiveness. It will be, again, a quality of life. So, 2 points. Sanctification is a position. We have been sanctified. It's a process. We are being changed. But it's not a passive process, because the writer to the Hebrews says, "Strive for that holiness without which no one will see the Lord." Well, let's pray together. Lord, we thank You for Your grace and mercy in choosing and setting apart us for Your kingdom and service. We thank You too for the gift of Your Holy Spirit to prompt and lead us into righteousness. We ask that You'll forgive us for such lethargy and laziness, and we pray that more and more we might respond in small and in large to the leading and the prompting of Your Holy Spirit. Please spare us from grieving or quenching Your Holy Spirit. Lead us into sanctification, for Jesus' sake. Amen.